word faith is, when we read it in English, of course, we look it up in a Webster's dictionary or something, and faith is an abstract term. It means different things to different people. Even when you look it up in Greek, it will give you abstract definitions. It will give you something like a belief or a faith or a trust, a belief, a faith, or a trust. Actually, when you look up a faith in a Strong's Concordance, one of the definitions of it is faith. but nonetheless, it will say something to trust, like trusting. And so you're given two or three more abstract definitions, and so nothing's really pinned down. So our Father has sovereignly chose for just such a time as this to turn the pure language back to the people so we can take the words back to what they meant in the beginning, since the end is revealed out of the beginning. And so this word in Hebrew, which is generally translated in this form as faith, as emunah, which is an aleph, a mem, a nun, and a hey. Now, obviously, it's in the feminine in that form, emunah. We're going to take it back to its parent root. Parent root contains all the genetic information for what all the forms of the word are going to be. So the parent root, Cole, is always going to be, if you will, the kind. And then there's variety within a kind.
Okay.
But those varieties still have all the genetic information of the kind. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know, take felines, take things, felines is a kind. And so all different kinds of cats can come out of that kind. But they still all contain the same genetic information that makes them a cat. So since the Word of God created everything in the universe, the Word of God works the same way. Like kind begets like kind. Now, right now, most people may not think what I just said is important, but it's extremely important because the nature of men is evolutionary. They will change the meaning of words over time. They evolved to something else. And so the Father knew that, so he says, hey, in the latter days, I'm going to restore all these things. That's what the ministry of Elijah is all about, was restoration for preparation of the Lord. And so when we take it back to the parent root, it's Aleph, Mem, Nun, pronounced in its simplest stem, Aman, Aman. That sounds very familiar because when I prayed just a few minutes ago, I said Amen, right?
Yeah.
And so, therefore, that's that same word. When we say Amen, we're saying the same root as faith, and we're saying the same root as the Hebrew word for truth. But moving on, when we take it back to its concrete meaning, each one of those letters is a picture. That's the reason why we call it a parent root. It's a picture like kids would understand. And so when we break it down, the Aleph and the Mem and the Nun speak of life. The Nun, the letter Nun, is the letter of life. It's represented by a darting fish. It's also represented by a little sperm cell. If you look at it, it looks like a sperm cell, but of course only God would have known that 6,000 years ago. But it's also a picture of a fish. Fish, that's the reason why fish was a symbol of Christianity for so long, because it meant life, resurrection life, and so forth. And that's why it was a symbol of that. And so AIM, okay, the first two letters are the words for mother. Mother. The last letter is the word for life. The mother being the one that gives us life. The whole idea is to secure life, to bring life into existence, and once you do, when the baby's in the womb, to support or nourish that baby. So the whole idea comes of these words, which we turn into theology, is actually based upon the everyday things that people do when they live their life. How brilliant God was not to take his word and put it into theological institutions where people would just simply teach their agenda versus everybody else's agenda, but rather in the simple little things of life because of John 3:16. Because God so loved the world, he put it in these simple little things. So the idea of faith is to support, to nurse, to take care of, to bring something in and secure it, like secure in a structure. Let me give you some examples of this word used in your scriptures. I think people want to hear that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to admonish anybody listening that anytime somebody defines a word for you, you need to make them put it back in the text and show you in context in the text.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Just ignore that. Someone's trying to call me, so you're going to hear another beep here as they go through that. I thought maybe I was talking to myself or... And it's okay.
Yeah.
Let me give some examples because they need to fit the context when you put them back into it. Let's give Proverbs 28, verse 20, for example. It uses this word, emunah. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent, blah, blah, blah. The whole point of this, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. There you have the idea of, the child being nurtured in the womb and being taken care of and made secure and so forth. And the mother, of course, cuddles the baby in her arms and breastfeeds. And the whole purpose of that is to establish trust. When a baby first is born, you don't give instructions to the baby, Cole. When the baby first comes out of the womb, you don't hold the baby in your arms. You don't start rattling off a bunch of rules. You don't say, okay, you can stay out till 11 o'clock on Saturdays, but Sunday through Friday, you have to be home by 8 o'clock every night. But you don't say that to a two-week-old baby, a three-week-old baby. This is the conundrum they had in Acts chapter 15, if you remember, when these new believers, these new Gentile converts, if you will, are coming into the kingdom. What are we going to do? There's a whole bunch of them now. How do we handle this? And the idea was to give them four things to establish trust and relationship and fellowship with the brethren. And then they will learn all these other things in the synagogue through Moses. They will learn these other things. But why? Because they're baby believers. You don't give them rules when they're baby. You establish a relationship. The reason why the idea of nursing is part of this is the reason why the mother is nursing the baby is so the baby, there's a trust relationship established between the one that's mature, which would be the mother, and the baby that just came into the world. And so another example, which you may not see right off the bat, is in Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. Now that we put it into a context that everybody's familiar with, a faithful man, now let's put it in its concrete form, okay? Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "My servant Moses is not so," comparing them to the other people, "who is faithful in all my house." Okay, so now we still have the traditional meaning of the word. He's faithful in all his house. I want to get to the main one here. I'm reading this off of my... because I don't remember all the passages. Here it is. Numbers chapter 11, verse 7. I'll give people just a second to get to Numbers chapter 11, verse 7. Because this is an example of how it's used in its concrete form. Concrete form. Not its abstract form. When I read something like, "He is faithful," that's in the abstract. What does that mean? So now let's read it in its concrete form. Numbers 11 says, and I quote, "Have I conceived all of these people? Have I begotten them, that you should say unto me, carry them in your bosom as a nursing father bears a suckling child unto the land where you swear unto their fathers?" Now, believe it or not, that those words, nursing father, there's no word father in the text there. The reason why they translate it as father is because of the fact that it's Moses. It's a person here. But that word nursing father in Hebrew is aman. It's from the apparent root aman, and it's translated as a nursing father. And so the word that's normally translated in the abstract as faith or believe or trust is the idea of a father or parent passing something down to the child. And so a nursing father. When you remember the story of Boaz and Ruth, you remember that Ruth, being a Gentile, has married Boaz. But Ruth is the one who is a Gentile who said, "Your God will be my God, your people shall be my people, your land shall be my land." In other words, she was made one, and in the genealogy of the Messiah herself, by grace through faith, she sovereignly chose to become part of them. And so when they have their first baby, the nourishing, the bringing up of the baby actually actually goes to Naomi, if you remember that. It goes to the one who's Jewish, if you will. In other words, as if to say, to learn and understand these things, she's given to Naomi to nurse the child. But the whole point of the idea of faith, let's cut the chase here. We could do a lot of verses, but we need to do as many words as we can here, so I don't waste too much time on it. Because I also want you to see that it's also a word used to secure a something to the ground. Now, this is important because the meaning of grace, remember Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, did Paul stop and give a three-hour PowerPoint presentation on grace and faith? No. Why do none of the New Testament writers ever stop and define their words? Because they're already defined in the Old Testament. That's why the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. These words were already defined from the very beginning. So there's no need to redefine them because we're only worshiping one God, one Father, and there's only one house. There's only one tent, if you will. And so this idea of faith is directly connected with grace. Now let's finish faith. It says in Isaiah chapter 22, verses 22 through 23. Let me give everybody a second to get to those passages. Isaiah 22 through 23.
Okay.
We're going to have the same word used here. Now it's going to be used in a field or out in the wilderness of the camp when the people are out in the wilderness. It says, and I quote, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder." We know who he's talking about here. This is going to be Yeshua, actually. "So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place." That word sure place there is aman. It's a nail. It's driving something in to secure something. "And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house." See the idea of a house here is securing something. Well, in the wilderness, they had tents. And they traveled from one place to the next in the wilderness in these tents. Ohel is the Hebrew word. So when they would set up the tent, the whole purpose of the tent was that everybody in your family went into that tent. Everybody, and there was a leader of the tent, the father of the tent, i.e. the father of the house. Anybody who's in that tent is under the father of the house. So how you got in the tent, I'm going to suggest to you, is by grace. That's the reason why the word grace in Hebrew is chen, chen. Some of you probably know that there's your chet and your nun that we started out in our alphabet when we started this thing off.
Yeah.
The root of that is chana. The parent root is actually more letters than the word itself. Chana is the parent root of the word grace in Hebrew, which is charis in Greek, which is grace in English. So we actually get the word grace in English from charis in Greek. Maybe you can hear that.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't, but that's where the word actually comes from. A lot of English words come forth from the Greek itself. And so sometimes the pronunciation's changed a little bit. So charis becomes grace. And the reason why is because English doesn't have a ch sound.
Okay.
Hebrew doesn't have a ch sound in a chet. And so they have to translate it into letters that are close to that sound. And that g sound of grace was the closest to ch in Greek. And so we get the English word grace from the Greek word charis, which comes forth from the Hebrew word chana. And so chana is a word that expresses putting or setting up a tent. It's the same word for that is it's the same word for a tent. For example, in Greek, or in Hebrew, we have chen, favor and grace. It's one who protects life. One who protects life. To encamp, to pitch a tent. So, what's my bottom line here? We got two abstract words, Cole, that mean different things to different people. So when Paul says by grace through faith, normally do. Well, we looked that up in the English and Greek, which is just going to give you abstract definitions. And so, therefore, we still divide up into our various religions and organizations and doctrinal positions because we're arguing one abstract meaning versus another abstract meaning. And so Paul puts these two things together in Ephesians chapter 2 and says that you are saved by grace through faith. And that is exactly right. That's what Paul's trying to teach us, is you are saved by something that's nothing that you did, nothing you do. It's everything the Father does. It's the mother, it's the parents, it's the mother who brings the child into the world and gives life to the child and supports it and nourishes it and makes it secure. It's the father who protects life, who sets up the tent for the family. And so when you look this word up in English, or it's kindness or favor. So you got grace, which is an abstract word. You look it up in the dictionary, and it says kindness and favor. Two more abstract words. You're still no better off than when you started, and you'll still argue with each other. So Hebrew, once again, is going to take it back to something they did every day. And every day, the Father would set up this place for all his people to come into. They didn't set it up. He set it up. He's the one that did it. And he doesn't come, if you will, and set up in your tent. He brings you in his tent. That's a very important thing, because this word grace is connected at the hip to pitching a tent. And so, therefore, the idea is going to be reflected in all the other examples. The two trees in Romans chapter 11, there's the natural tree and there's the wild olive tree. The natural olive tree and the wild olive tree. What's the teaching? God does not take the natural branches and put them in the wild olive tree. God does not come and set up branches in your wild olive tree. He says you have to be cut out of your tree, and you have to be grafted in to the natural tree. You come out of your tent, and you go into the tents of God.
Okay.
And so this picture of grace and faith, and I said all that to conclude with this, and we'll go through another one, is that when Paul says, for by grace you save through faith, he's pointing to these natural things that people do so you understand that your entrance in the kingdom had nothing to do with you. It was your parents. Okay? And of course, you know, we don't have, you know, father is both contains both the feminine and the male, of course, because we both come from that. But the idea is the father does everything. That's what Paul's trying to teach, is it's nothing you did, it's everything that he did, and that's in these beautiful pictures of setting up tents and securing the tents by driving a stake into the ground or a mother nourishing a baby. Is that too much detail?
That's great. So one quick question. I don't remember where the verse is, but I think it says where Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Would that word pitched his tent be connected to the word grace?
Yes, because, once again, what's happening here? What's the passage trying to say?
He's kind of showing, I mean, for our terms, he'd be showing favor towards Sodom?
Yes.
Okay.
He's making himself one with Sodom. He's going to pitch his tents with them.
Okay.
That's good. Just one little sidebar here. Because everything is in the beginning, and you can look this up yourself, even though I've already done my homework, but don't believe everything I say, for goodness sakes. There's only one. Everybody comes forth from Ham, Shem, or Japheth. Let's start with that. I have a theology that keeps us in our Milky Way galaxy, Cole. That's just one of my theological positions. I choose to stay on our planet and in the Milky Way galaxy.
Okay.
Therefore, when I read the scriptures, what appears to me to be obvious, if I just stay on planet Earth, is that Cain's lineage, basically, for the most part, perished in the flood. And then after they come out, as far as the males are concerned, everybody is from Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth. And when those three, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, disperse throughout the world, in Genesis, we read about this in Genesis chapter 10, that they are dispersed throughout the world, the only tent that's blessed is the tents of Shem. It says, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. It never says, blessed be the Lord God of Ham, blessed be the Lord God of Japheth, but it's blessed be the Lord God of Shem. And so it's the tents of Shem that's analogous to the natural tree in Romans chapter 11. So if you're born in the tents of Ham, you need to come into the tents of Shem. How? By grace through faith. If you're born in the tents of Japheth, then you have to come into the tents of Shem to be blessed, because that's where the blessing is in the tents of Shem. If you are naturally from the tents of Shem, but you wander away, then Paul says your branches are cut off in Romans chapter 11, and they have to be grafted back in. What does that mean? You have to come back into the tents of Shem. If you wander away into the tents of Ham, which is what Lot did,
okay.
Lot, if you will, wandered away to go into the tents of Ham and Japheth, rather than remaining in the tents of Shem or staying in the tents of Shem. So I just wanted to just give another analogy
okay.
Of the background of these words.